Hello and welcome to the Incomplete Saris.
Incomplete Saris, your incomplete guide. Average TV show you've never watched.
I'm Morgan Carl.
Is this the whole show?
Show? Can we do that again, please?
I'm in a real identity crisis here, Al.
Nothing penetrates within Dawson.
Who do you see in the mirror?
Hey!
Belle Grey, hot.
Hello and welcome to the Incomplete Series, your incomplete guide to every television show you've never watched. This is the podcast where we watch the first episode of a television series and then the very last episode of that television series, and we just try and figure out why it was made and all the other fun details like that. Joining me to do this is my good friend Scott. Scott, how are you?
Oh, hey. Whoa.
Did you like that?
Whoa. He was not ready.
I was in the middle of...
drinking his Earl Grey hot.
Mid-swig. I know. Fruit tea.
I know, but I'm sick of Jez. Always going first.
That's fair.
Yeah.
You always go first, to be honest.
Mm. It's true.
I'm always second.
I never introduced myself, though.
Where's your byline?
I think you have started introducing yourself.
I thought we agreed that you were going to start calling it the Incomplete Series with Morgan Cole.
Oh, with Morgan Cole, yeah.
Morgan Cole presents the Incomplete Series
with Morgan Cole. That's when I do my...
No, I'm your host, Morgan Cole, and with me
is Morgan Cole Jr. Yeah.
That's me?
Yeah.
MCJ.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Are you adopting me?
I am.
We just call you CJ. You're part of the... Dean Anderson hierarchy now.
Yeah, exactly. You're inside the
family
inside
tree.
He's grandpa to me. Yep.
Exactly. Yeah. Grandpa. Gramps Dino. Which joins me to my other son, Aaron Batten. Aaron, how are you?
I'm good. I don't get the Cole name.
No.
I'm a bastard.
Aaron Dean Anderson.
I'll take that.
Oh, I like that. That works.
Aaron Dean Anderson.
ADA. Ooh. Oh.
Matches my job title as well.
American Dental Association or something.
ADA, a defense attorney.
Assistant district attorney.
Oh.
The ADA.
Yeah.
And
watch out. Congratulations.
I'll get you.
Oh God.
And my other son, Jeremy Dean Anderson. Jeremy, how are you?
I'm well, Dad.
That's good to see you. We'll play catch later.
Sounds good.
Try the You've been saying that for years.
Oh no. Just gotta leave.
It's always later.
I got a lot of sons.
It's never now. Why not now?
I mean, I am...
Stop recording.
I am your...
in the cradle with the silver
little boy blue. You are my son, despite the fact that you are some 10 months older than I am.
That's right. Mm. Stranger things have happened. Documented in that series, Stranger Things.
That's what that's about.
Yeah, it's all the things that have been stranger than this.
Of course.
What a crazy show.
It's just like a long list of things.
I would have loved to have been there for the pitch to Netflix.
Went
like, there's these two guys in suburban Melbourne.
Third season's coming.
How can we top this?
How can we top these guys?
Something else that was stranger than that. Those clips from MacGyver that we were speaking about last episode.
Yes.
Yep.
Do yourself a favor. Jump on YouTube now. This is for the listeners, not you guys.
Well, they might already be on a Facebook
page. I'm
going to
do it as well.
Okay, you can do it as well. And look up MacGyver Fights Bigfoot and MacGyver Jet Ski Coffin.
The coffin one was my favorite.
It was amazing. I did not see that coming.
It was a very well-formed jet ski.
It's a. I don't know how that was inside the coffin, but it was.
Yeah. The answer is it wasn't.
The answer is paperclips.
Paperclips. The best part about the coffin jet ski
was and dairies.
Was apart from the fact that it was a coffin jet ski. I'm not sure why those guys threw those dudes walking around with a coffin on a bridge and then threw it over there, and why he was there. There's a lot of context issues, but. Maybe it's a thing over there, but I just love the
traditional German burial. Yeah,
just throw you straight over a bridge. I just love the fact that he had a one-liner as well. I guess I'm the first man to see his own funeral and get away to tell the tale.
That's all he's got in his satchel is a big list of one-liners.
If he couldn't think of one, he would have just stayed in the coffin and
just let it sink. Let the water take him.
What is the point of him if he can't deliver a zinger?
Does not deserve to live.
No. And of course, fighting Bigfoot, which was stuff of nightmares. That Bigfoot, which turned out to be
a guy in a suit. Who would have thought?
So scary.
I am kind of glad it turned out to be a guy in a suit and not an actual Bigfoot.
Yeah, they didn't jump the shark as much as we thought.
Yeah.
Mm. But let's not dwell on the past.
He jumped a shark on the coffin jet ski?
Yeah, almost definitely.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. He used the
fin. Henry Winkler had anything to say.
True. He used the fin as a ramp.
Oh, they definitely spoke about that.
Yeah.
They would have spoken about it.
It's a great term, jumping the shark.
We're living in the past.
Yeah, yeah, I love it.
Now we've been living in the past. It's now time to live in the present and look at the past.
But also the past.
Yeah.
Mm. Kind of the future though, a little bit futuristic.
Yeah, it's cutting edge. Captain Planet.
He's our hero.
Gonna take pollution down to zero.
A very ambitious target.
Massive.
Zero.
Yeah. No pollution.
None.
You'd think he would be able to do it, given all the superpowers.
He kind of like just... There's one point where he just sucks up an oil spill by... So if he can suck up an oil spill, he can just sort of fly around and suck up all pollution.
Yeah, he's really just putting out spot fires and clocking off.
Yeah, exactly. He's only MacGyver ever type. He's only ever around for like a good 2 to 3 minutes at a time before disappearing.
Yeah,
he's on like a shot clock or something.
Yeah, he's got like a sort of the you only get a limited amount of time. It's like you fill up your special meter
subscription
and then,
service. Yeah.
So I don't know how he's going to get it down to zero, but yeah, you got to set yourself goals.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. Ambitious.
Said, putting out spot fires and then getting in isn't going to get down to zero.
Yeah, I assume all the listeners know what we're talking about with Captain Planet. Yeah. Yeah, a childhood staple.
Childhood staple, and green mullet. A bit of a throwback to the previous episode in that mullets.
Yeah,
seem to be the thing. Do you think that I get the sense that Captain Planet was modeled off Richard Dean Anderson?
Do you reckon they were considering a live action version?
No, so it was kind of like
it would have been RDA.
Gollum in Lord of the Rings, like they got Dean Anderson in like the morph suit with the ping pong balls all over it, and he would sort of
do the
obviously a lot of ping pong balls on the hair.
Yeah.
Mostly on the hair. In a live action recast, who would you cast? Cheadle. Cheadle's played him before.
He has played him before.
He's familiar with the role.
Yeah, Cheadle knows it.
Nah, Dean Anderson for Captain Planet. Then you got to recast all the Planeteers.
Maybe we should get to this.
We'll get to
the designated time.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'm getting ahead of ourselves.
Jeremy, how would you describe, for the uninformed listener who maybe didn't grow up in the 90s, how would you describe the show Captain Planet?
Some sort of omnipotent woman who lives in the middle of the earth, sort of kidnaps 5 teenagers and forces them with magic rings to do her bidding.
Yeah, that sounds pretty accurate.
Well, that's pretty much what happens.
Is a description.
Maybe not the correct description, but...
Well, it's close. I mean, they're a bunch of teenagers just sort of get teleported magically to some island.
Yeah, that is weird.
They don't even get a chance to say goodbye to their families. Also, they all seem to have very adult jobs for a bunch of youths.
We're all obviously well acquainted with Captain Planet. It was definitely one of my favorites.
This doesn't require a round table. What did you know about it going in?
Everything is the answer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I watched it pretty
well. This is probably one I just would remember snippets of this, so much of it from my childhood, but nothing
specific.
I remember all
the villains. Dr. Blight and the Pig Man, and then there's another one who does the
Loot and Plunder.
That's his name.
Yeah, Loot and Plunder.
Loot and Plunder.
Yeah.
That when you name your children,
if your last name's Plunder, don't call your son Luton.
Luton. Duke Nukem.
Especially because it's not Duke a name.
Luton. Number one, yeah.
I really forgot how disgusting Hoggish Greedley was, though.
He's literally a pig man.
He's an abhorrent character. I just cannot stand him.
How did he get into the position of being able to be like a supervillain? Where did he make his money? Inherited? Do you think it's a cut of all pigs that are...
There was an episode, I remember, it was his like family manor. And it had all his ancestors who were all pigmen oil barons. There was like some fake ghost that they tried to use to scare him into stop being a pigman
like
oil
the ghost
baron.
Of his.
That's very
great. Yeah,
pig that's very Scooby Doo.
It was very Scooby Doo.
So is it you? What you're telling me is this is a spin-off of Animal Farm.
That is what I'm telling you.
Sounds very close.
Interesting.
Yeah. And there was another villain. We didn't come across him. Venomous Scum.
Okay.
Wow.
He was basically...
Yes. I mean, if your last name's Scum, you've kind of hemmed into a corner there.
He was basically a rat man drug dealer.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
A rat man drug dealer.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
Let's not dwell on this too much before we hear from our esteemed colleague who's going to tell us about the first episode.
Gaia, the spirit of Earth, summons 5 young people from different corners of the world to help in her battle to save the planet. They're known as the Planeteers.
I need young people to help now, starting with 5 very special kids from 5 corners of the globe.
There's Wheeler from North America, who has the power of fire, Linka from the Soviet Union with the power of wind, Gi from Asia with the power of water, Kwame from Africa with the power of earth, and Marti from South America, who gets shafted with the ambiguous power of heart. Their first assignment is to battle Hoggish Greedley, a literal pigman whose oil drilling operation is killing the coastline.
That'll teach him to interfere with the polluted plans of Hoggish Greedley!
After a few tricks from Greedley, he seems to have the drop on the Planeteers before they play their ace card, combining their powers to summon Captain Planet.
I am your powers combined and magnified.
The captain quickly dispatches the pigman and the oil rig, saving the day.
So I didn't realize that the Planeteers kind of just check out once they summon Captain Planet.
Yeah, they can't use their powers anymore. Yeah, I forgot about that. They've all been channeled into him.
Mm. So, you know, forgive me for sort of casting them aside so early in episode one of the, 120 odd episodes that there were. Mm. Why does she need the Planeteers? Just summon Captain Planet full time, you know?
Yeah.
You got the rings that have the power to summon him.
Yeah, he mustn't be able to...
Yeah, like, but Gaia could just put... She's got five fingers, right? Just chuck them all on one hand and be like, all right, go... Like, what are the kids...
Yeah.
What are they... Like, should they be in school?
She's trying probably. To... She's trying to empower the youth. They need to help themselves.
How old are they, though?
Like, I reckon, like, 17.
Yeah,
maybe... Matisse is a little bit younger.
So, yeah. Or he could just be smaller because he's South American.
No, I think he's literally the character's sure. Literally younger.
South Americans are short.
Yeah, okay, I know that, but it's not, I'm just saying that
they're younger
kid,
than the rest of us.
He's a kid.
That's why he gets the dud power.
I think he gets seriously dudded. Great,
you huh? reckon?
I can feel everyone's feelings right now. Fantastic.
That would be overwhelming.
Make other people feel things. I think he's like Professor X.
Yeah,
in a way.
I'd almost prefer that to Fire. Fire's pretty shit.
Yeah,
you can't really do a lot problems
constructive with it.
Yeah, because in the first episode he keeps apps. Because apparently when you say the name of the power, it just happens.
Yeah.
Mm. Wind.
I don't know. Maybe they're not fully, you know, versed in their rings yet, and they haven't.
Mm-hmm.
And Wheeler, the fire guy, he has the thickest Brooklyn accent.
My God.
Hey, whoa.
Oh, jeez. Oh, my God.
Oh jeez.
The fire.
Hey, love your accent, babe. You Russian?
Yeah, he's a very unlikable character.
Accent, babe.
Yeah.
oh, my God. Yeah.
So, Linka, why did they choose the Soviet Union?
Instead of just a country?
Yeah, exactly. Everyone else is a continent.
It could have just been Europe.
That's the thing. It should have been Europe. Why was it the Soviet Union? It's just really bizarre. I feel like if you're a European, you'd be feeling pretty dudded.
About 1 year before the Soviet Union was disbanded as
Not a lot of foresight there.
No.
Well, you know who created this show? Ted Turner.
Uh-huh.
The billionaire, the mogul. That,
what? Like, Tina Turner's brother.
Yes, Tina Turner. Why do you...
Who's Ted Turner?
He's like... They make heaps of jokes about him.
Do you know TNT, the network in America?
Stands for Ted and Turner.
AT&T?
No, like the TV network.
Yeah.
TNT?
TNT.
It's not like, really.
Well, he's a massive
TV station.
Yeah, he's a billionaire and he's just got...
Scott, I thought you worked in TV.
Yeah, you should know these things.
Not for these guys.
that's fair.
Mm. I thought you were going to say it was created by Gorbachev.
He's also the founder of...
A last-ditch effort to save the Soviet Union.
Having a character say they're from the Soviet Union.
Talk down to those imperialist dogs from Brooklyn.
Oh. Because we care, my sweet imperialist dog.
That was such a strange comment. Yeah.
Ouch.
You imperialist dog.
Yes. I mean,
imperialist dog.
To be fair, Wheeler is a bit of a piece of shit.
He's an imperialist dog.
Why do we got to clean up all of these oil spills?
Yeah.
I'm not getting paid.
Yeah,
my God.
Well, you're getting paid when the streets when you were just sort of disrupting mugs.
Yeah, so that was his origin. He was like, preventing someone from getting mugged.
And some guy with a chain who looked like a pretty hardened criminal was just scared instantly when he saw him. So maybe he has a reputation.
Fiery red hair.
Mm.
Back on Ted Turner, have you heard of Kabler News Network? CNN? Anyway,
I've dabbled.
He created CNN.
He invented CNN.
Oh, no way. Oh, there you go.
So, anyway, he's worth a little bit of money.
He's a pretty noble man.
So, when you
say
he created it, like he came up with the idea?
Yeah, it was his idea.
Nice.
It's very surprising.
Doing good for the community. He's like, I'm going to create a cartoon with a positive message.
Well, I guess he had like G.I. Joe was before this, right? Is that the one that had the message?
Yeah,
that was just a conscription tool.
That I'm sure
to
that
get
was.
People to
But Ted Turner maybe he's trying to push for, because you know Link is from the Soviet Union and there's, you know, he calls Wheeler imperialist dog. Wheeler's a piece of shit. Linker seems pretty cool. Maybe he's trying to push.
Oh, he's a commie.
He's a commie. Turner's a commie. He's just trying to.
You heard it here first.
Get to the youth quickly through a positive message.
No. The young people, as they constantly refer to them. Exactly. They're only ever referred to as young people.
I need young people to help now.
Well, so they could just be anyone under the age of, what, like 22?
Yeah. Pretty much. What is Gaia doing in this scenario?
She's
that's her whole job, right? Is to look after the Earth.
She's been and then she gets it,
and then so at the start of the episode, is that what happened?
She wakes, the water's dripping on her head. She's like, I've been asleep for 100 years. Let's have a look on my magic TV and see what's happened.
Surely the humans couldn't have messed up the world that much.
You got one job.
In your face, Gaia.
You got one job.
Clip show of exhaust pipes.
You think we're going to destroy the world? We're going to destroy the shit out of this place.
Why have a notification system that you can, you know, magically see people destroying the Earth if you're not going to use it?
Yeah, maybe get it to sort of like wake you up every year or so.
Yeah,
you need to sleep really out of
fucking hand. Magic, all right? Just do it.
She's been around for a while. She's also a bit of a cartoon babe.
Is it
voiced by
Whoopi Goldberg?
Whoopi Goldberg,
also a cartoon babe.
That was a nickname. No, that was a nickname in high school.
Yeah.
Cartoon babe. So old man Hoggish, he is really offensive. Just, he is an assault on the senses. And he's like Ratman companion.
Yeah, he's like a cartoon Joe Dirt.
Yeah, he's just like there's there's that one scene when they get Captain Planet and they're, you know, he's taking on their big like oil rig.
Yeah,
thing.
So he's got like a weird, what's that?
AT-AT.
Like a mech. AT-AT from Star Wars.
Yeah, yeah.
With arms.
An oil driller.
Also an oil driller.
It really doesn't seem very practical.
I can't imagine why that
is. It's like a two-man oil drilling operation. Like
by the time we're finished here, they won't even know.
They won't even know.
There's that scene, though, when Captain Planet's like, oh, all right, he's just toying with them, and he gets the Ratman rigger to go up and man the arms, and take him, and he The claws grab Captain Planet and
other one becomes like a stabbing implement.
Yeah, and nothing's happening. And
that was brutal. Like, if that had worked, just a giant knife going straight through Captain Planet's chest.
Bounces off him. He's like, and then he breaks out of it. That scene when he lands and then Rigger's in the thing. Rigger must have been terrified. I've just tried to rip this guy in half. Mm-hmm. Nothing worked. And he just walks up, rips the door off. Oh, my God.
And throws him in a green flying man.
Yeah, green flying man.
There's no consequences for their actions. It's just like he places him somewhere else.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm. I thought it was going to be much more violent than that. That's what I pictured it being a lot more violent
before his demise. Before he chucks him in the bin, obviously, it's a bit of a time to take out the trash.
Yeah.
Yeah. He speaks only in puns.
But enough fun. There's trash to take out.
Really does. Oh, he says puns and he says the power is yours. Yeah. That is all
so
he's
many
got.
Zingers. This is 100% modeled off Richard Dean Anderson. Just zingers.
It would have been much better if instead of Captain Planet using his superpowers, he just had like a paperclip and a rubber band and just like dismantled their AT&T oil drawer.
I'm sure I did read there was an episode where he loses his powers and he has to use like human things.
Yeah, so I remember that one actually.
They would have gone full MacGyver in that episode.
Does he lose all the color and he turns into a regular human?
Well, he's kind of got like diamond skin, doesn't he? Sparkles a lot. And in the first episode, wherever he's flying, there's like a sparkle trail.
Yeah.
I think they got rid of that. A bit too flashy.
It cost too much money.
I think so. You don't need
spend all that money on the Richard Dean Anderson CGI. Yeah.
I tell you, I did come up with I'm probably skipping ahead a little bit again. I came up with a person to recast. If you got Hoggish Greeley, who you could recast him with, Tom Thibodeau.
Okay.
Coach of the Timberwolves.
Yep.
A good Hoggish Greeley.
Yep. Scott's looking perplexed.
Yeah, sorry, yeah, cool guys. You wouldn't know that one, but Aaron and Jez certainly will.
Scott, for your viewing pleasure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? Hoggish?
Oh, yeah.
Hoggish Greeley.
Mm.
Greeley?
Greeley.
Just got to get him an oil gun. Oh.
Toxic waste.
Toxic waste gun. Yeah, sorry, my bad. Can you imagine how bad that would be to be shot with that gun?
I don't know.
It's awful. Just covered in toxic waste.
You would get quite sick.
You would probably kill so quickly.
Toxic waste would probably kill you.
You would go downhill very fast.
For Captain Planet?
Have you ever seen RoboCop 2? When there's a scene where like the bad guys are chasing RoboCop and through like some abandoned factory.
Yeah.
And the guy like he goes, now I gotcha. And then RoboCop jumps out of the way and the van just careers into this huge vat of toxic waste and he just comes out and he's just a mutant.
I have seen this clip. You sent me this clip.
I have.
Like, that is incredible.
A big wave of it washes through the car and he rolls out
the door. He gets up and he's like, he's just like all The form's like, kill, no, help me, get away from me, man. And he gets hit by a car and just explodes.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, my God.
So I picture that's what would happen. You just turn into a mutant.
I imagine it like I met someone who had been to India and they once jumped in the Ganges. They did it as like a big romantic gesture. And then he said just for like the next 2 years, he was just like consistently sick. You know, and you just feel like really run down.
Oh,
and
my
just,
God.
Why? Borderline they flu like, symptoms.
They throw bodies in there.
Yeah.
God.
He said people, it was worth it. People he was like, oh, I'm fine now.
What?
It's a good story.
2 years he was sick. Oh, yeah, that's definitely worth it.
You should make up that story, aren't
you? Oh, man.
Do it.
That's bad news.
Is he blowing bubbles underwater or something?
Did he have like a just parasite or something? Just controlled by a parasite for 2 years? Get to your brain.
The goal.
I think it's goal. It is a bit of a problem that Captain Planet's one job, he's fighting pollution, but his one weakness is pollution.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's he's a problem.
Really coming
get
across.
Someone, yeah. Get someone else.
His one weakness constantly.
But the other thing is, all it takes to cure him is like a splash of water.
Yeah, not if even you just clear, he's got like a solar panel on his chest. Yeah. If you clear that out,
he's pretty
recharge.
Versatile sort of guy. Is there an episode, and I can kind of remember this, where there's like a anti-Captain Planet?
Captain Pollution.
He's like a slug. I remember he's like, he's sat hanging out in like a pit of toxic waste and he's like sitting in there like it's a like a what do you call him, a spa, like a hot
tub.
And
he's sitting, so he's inverse colors, he's got like the red mullet,
yeah, they shift the hue.
There was an episode where it was like I think they captured Captain Planet or something, and there was like an all-star like game show sort of thing where each of the planeteers had to compete against one of the villains in some event.
Ooh.
So like my tea had to do some weird obstacle course race against Duke Nukem, and they had all these weird events. And then it was Captain Planet against Captain Pollution. Yeah, Duke Nukem was one of the villains.
What was this?
What?
In what?
The actual Duke Nukem? Like
no,
the
no. He's like a he's like a radioactive man.
What?
He's like all orange, yellow, scaly skin.
And
he was like,
how are they allowed to just take that?
Well, when did Duke Nukem come out?
Mid-90s? Must be like a general.
Yeah, which Duke Nukem came first?
Yeah, and which Duke Nukem was voiced by Dean Stockwell?
Oh.
No way.
Yeah.
That one.
Oh, that's Duke fun. Nukem, Dean Stockwell from Al from Quantum Leap.
That's great.
Love Quantum Leap. Everything leads back to Quantum Leap.
Oh, it really does.
It is, though, watching this show, this is one of those series that's it's quite difficult to do because not a lot happens. Like, a bit happens, but not a lot happens. No. I guess it's a children's cartoon, so what did we expect? But
and then, I mean, to speculate as to what went on in the between what we saw, it's pretty easy to guess. One of the five rotating villains does something to try and destroy the environment, and then they step in.
Foil that plan.
And it doesn't happen.
I would like to see the Planeteers do a little bit more off their own back.
Instead of relying on Captain Planet like as a crutch.
They jump to the captain like as soon as they get in a little bit of a pickle. Like they've got some pretty good powers.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, in the first episode, they didn't know Captain Planet exists until they summon him.
That's true.
So when they were in a pickle, it was like, all right, let's try this other thing.
That surely would become a bit of a crutch. Like you would just, anytime it got a little bit too high, you're like, do you guys really want to do this? Or you just get there? Yeah, let's get the cap.
Well, run out of sugar in the house. Oh, man.
Miss the bus and just fly on the captain's back to school. You know?
Before we jump full into speculation, do we want to go through the second episode?
I think that would be worthwhile.
In a storyline taken directly from Morgan's nightmares, Dr. Blight and her AI sidekick Mal have taken their looting and polluting schemes to the pet industry.
But my scanner shows their internal organs are a frightful mess.
Who cares? Some bumpkin will buy them before any illness shows up.
Joey, Wheeler's kid cousin, goes to the pet store with the Planeteers to return his dead dog. When the grumpy pet store owner strictly enforces their no refunds policy, Joey takes matters into his own hands and catches the bus to the puppy farm district. Much to his horror, he discovers literally tens of sick and mutated dogs, despite the company discreetly being called Puppies by the Millions.
Puppies by the Millions? I bet that's where Skippy came from.
Blight catches Joey and throws him in a pen to be eaten alive by her angry, malnourished guard dogs. Joey thwarts her plan by feeding them chocolate, which, despite what the Oreo kid had us believe, turns them into lovable lap dogs. The Planeteers arrive, and with the help of an undercover RSPCA agent, and the captain of course, manage to save the day by destroying the puppy farm and euthanizing all the dogs. And the episode ends with a message from the Planeteers.
As long as we buy these kinds of products, these animals will continue to be endangered. So think before you buy. Is this worth an animal's life? The power to choose is yours!
It's a really depressing episode. I didn't like it.
I can't imagine why.
Yeah, I was
straight from your nightmares.
Yeah, I was very upset.
Do you like that one dog with just a single eye? Like a
yeah, that poor little guy. I hope he found a home. I hope they all found homes. I mean, they're cartoon dogs. They're not real, so it doesn't really matter.
the two that Joey befriended, which he so imaginatively called
Lady and Pup. Yeah, that was he could have worked a little bit harder on that.
Joey's a bit of a shithead.
Yeah, Joey really dropped the ball there.
Did anyone notice? Was it just me that noticed that he was the only one with like really full lips?
I didn't pick up on it.
He also they like tried to draw like freckles on him, but they kind of just look like age spots.
Like
little 60-year-old man.
Slightly younger Mr. Burns.
Liver spotted hands.
The animation from the first episode to the last went downhill very hard. Like the backgrounds were very basic.
Yeah.
They just sort of like the characters were sort of poorly. The way that they moved was so rigid. And
when they walked into the pet store, it was so bizarre.
Yeah,
like I thought the TV was skipping.
It's like their hips were sort of fused and their arms were like
It's like they really cut the budget.
Swing themselves in. Yeah, and they definitely just had one guy doing it in 3 hours or something.
Yeah, well, probably Dick Van Dyke.
Yeah.
DVD. Well, Whoopi Goldberg was no longer voicing Gaia by the end, so I think the budget really started to slim down.
We should say that at some point. During the show's run, it went from the production company Dick, and then Hanna-Barbera took over. So it was on the Cartoon Network, which would explain the shift.
And the Scooby-Doo like
the intro track.
Yeah.
The Scooby-Doo like theme of the episode as well, like the kids snooping around and
Tell you what, the opening song in for that second episode when Cartoon Network took over is so bad.
By your powers combined, I am Captain Planet.
Captain Planet, he's the man leading the charge, Earth's number one fan. Check him out, you're gonna see. He's the Mega Mac Daddy of ecology.
I almost pulled the pin on doing this show when I saw that.
I don't blame you. I don't know what they. Someone like really dropped the ball. It's just an explanation.
Terrible kid rap with like
And it makes
a disembodied pair of lips rapping along.
I thought the
show
was going to be real weird. It kind of reminded me of The Mask, cartoon.
Yeah, it did a bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Ugh.
It's like somebody went back in time and punched you as a child.
Yeah, pretty much. That's how it felt.
And then
punched you right in the childhood.
And just as a double whammy, it was that intro and then the whole puppy thing. I'm very upset. I don't know what to think about. And it was one of those things where Captain Planet kind of came back and they didn't really need him there.
No.
I love at the start with the kid his dog's just died. Captain Planet's just standing next to him like, don't worry, the power is yours. And just leaves.
Well, that doesn't help.
You are doing nothing for me right
exactly.
now.
Exactly. You bring I feel
power
nothing.
To do what? Can't you bring come on. Power to bring my dog back to life?
My 6-month-old boxer who passed away. When the place catches fire and they're trying to, they're getting all the dogs out and trying to get them out of there, Captain Planet's is kind of floating around, just gathering up wood.
Taking wood into the sky, spinning around to put it out, and placing it down in a neat little pile.
He started his own lumber business.
It's not helpful at all. That was one of those things where let's leave CP out of it and get Gee. She can do all the that's probably the water's going to help.
It's a good job for that.
Surely that's got Gee written all over.
That's Gee written all over it. Wheeler's not going to be any help.
No. Wheeler is never any help.
Wheeler's not helping. And
let's put this fire out with more fire.
Some
exactly.
Wind.
Potentially. Link is going to spread around.
You just dump some sand on
exactly.
that.
Exactly. So let's have Kwame and Gee have it covered. And of course, as usual, Mate's doing nothing. So
he's doing nothing.
Well, I reckon he had a... I thought when this episode started, I'm like, oh, this is a big Mate moment. Because, when the dogs are all sort of unruly at the end and a bit stressed out, but Captain Planet just jumped in and stole his thunder and did the whole heart thing to calm him down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That
just
was
leave it
Matisse
up to him.
One moment to
he could
finally
have just got
make
all
use
the dogs
of his power.
To coordinate and come out.
Yeah.
So he can control them.
Yeah.
But
like a parasite.
Captain Planet's boxing him out as usual.
Jumped in again.
Yeah.
Dr. Blight is just full-blown supervillain.
I've genetically engineered these brood dogs to make bigger litters faster. Puppies by the millions!
Yeah.
It's just out of control.
Very evil.
She's out of control.
With her little TV sidekick. That
very sassy.
Floats around on some
sassy
sort of
little
rail.
Computer.
A bit of dyed hair. Streak going through the hair.
Yeah.
Tim
Curry. 101 Dalmatians.
Well, yeah. Actually, well, yeah, there was a bit of thing vibing that. Yeah. I'd say Tim Curry only took that role when he read the script and went, "Ooh, that's a lot of good zingers there."
Yeah. I mean, he's so sassy. So that's Mal, her little
computer man.
Computer me guy.
On the surface, they look fine, but my scanner shows their internal organs are a frightful mess.
They did have heaps of like pretty big actors
doing voices.
Yeah. Like Tim Curry. I don't know if it was this episode, but Meg Ryan did a lot of voices for Dr. Blight.
Really?
Oh,
really?
Yeah. Meg Ryan. Martin Sheen did Sly Sludge. Jeff Goldblum did Venomous Scum.
Oh, really?
Sting did two voices.
I mean, I guess...
Dennis Weaver, Ed Begley Jr., Malcolm McDowell.
Malcolm McDowell?
Yeah, Fred Savage.
Sounds like they had a lot of money behind it, so...
Oh, Ted Turner.
Yeah, TT.
But yeah, there's some huge names.
With the show, like you said, like you were saying earlier, Jez, in terms of like speculation, it's the thing. You didn't really need to wrap it up. Each week they're tackling some form of problem, and then there's the two PSAs at the end, Planeteer Alert, like about said issue that they get involved with. And
see, if I were to write this show and were to write a series finale, I would put in something where like Captain Planet retires or like goes somewhere else, and it's like it's up to you, like humans, to take care of the Earth now.
Sort of passes the
gauntlet on.
Yeah,
my job here is done.
Yeah,
maybe wrap the villains up and be like, yeah, make sure you don't trash the Earth anymore.
Then you do need to answer the question: where does Captain Planet go when he's not summoned?
I don't know. I guess
is he in the rings? Like, is he in the rings?
Is he just like mooching off Gaia? Is he like a house guest who's not paying rent?
Yeah, it's dropkick son. Yeah,
genie in a lantern sort of situation.
Just like Todd with BoJack Horseman.
Yeah, sits in his room.
Hooray!
Yeah, I don't know. I guess he just sort of dissipates into the ether, returns to the Earth. Isn't he just the embodiment of all the elements?
Pretty much.
Why has he got green hair? Good question.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like because his skin's like sky blue, yeah. I guess, and his hair's like grass.
I think
foliage.
It's more brown there if they're going for like the real earthy.
Yeah, he's got like red boots.
It's probably Dan Anderson probably didn't want people to know it was him, so he's like, just make my hair green. You know, we'll just change it up a little bit. I'd say it's probably in his contract.
Would have been great if he was just wearing the like a flanny and a vest. Just go and full MacGyver.
Exactly. Maybe pants. That's it, Captain MacGyver. Just like summon MacGyver and he'll take down combined, things.
I am MacGyver.
When he came out, the planeteers were like, oh, perfect. He'll probably work this out.
Arguably, it would be just as effective.
Yeah.
Because in the second episode, all he does is put a fire out. MacGyver would have done that. It's far quicker.
Oh, and with well more efficiency. Mm. He wouldn't be doing shit like getting the wood planks and then taking them in the air.
That just seemed like a really silly
way to put the fire out. It seemed very slow and inefficient.
Yeah.
But why do you even need to put the fire out? Just get the dogs out.
Yeah, burn that place to the ground.
Let the place burn to the ground. Get the dogs out. Yeah,
then they can't reuse it as a puppy mill.
I can cover it in toxic waste. Why not? No one will ever go back.
Exactly. Salt the earth.
Make sure nothing ever grows there again. That's the captain's MO.
Once he's dispatched of the villains.
Obviously, went through some a diverse range of issues.
Mm.
Like this is it's not like a huge environmental thing to touch on puppy mills. It's more of an ethical thing, and I would have thought it's not necessarily an issue that a Cartoon Network would really want to go near.
It's sort of saying that don't go to pet shops and stuff.
It's like a fairly big call for
pretty noble and well above like the first episode of don't spill oil everywhere, which is a bit of a no-brainer.
Actually has any implications for 12-year-old children.
This is kind of like giving moral opinions.
What year was this?
This last one, 96.
Yeah, like took a long time for like that industry to even kind of slightly curb.
Yeah,
you don't see it as much anymore.
No,
like puppies being sold in stores.
Yeah.
No.
When was it kind of like a peak?
Probably the 90s. Probably the 90s was the peak, yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
probably,
maybe.
That was probably the peak of consumerism.
It's tapered off, has it?
Mm.
Oh, well, a little bit.
Mm.
You imperialist dog.
People are probably more conscious of things now. I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean that things are getting better.
Yeah.
But
I think this was certainly ahead of its time.
I think so.
No, I agree.
I read some of the episodes that popped up in the Wikipedia page as being particularly forward-thinking for their time. Was there was one that one of the villains creates like some super drug,
Yeah, that was Venomous Scum.
Venomous Scum, mm-hmm. And Linka's cousin gets hooked on it and like jumps out a window and kills himself.
Oh my god!
Yeah, I know.
What?
Yeah, so they're like they.
It's called Bliss.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my god!
Aaron's obviously read it, and they like their whole message there is like, don't pollute your mind. So they touched on drug, and the okay. other one they did was they went to Africa, and there was some village where they one of the villains was spreading a rumor that AIDS could be contracted through just any sort of contact with an infected person. So they were sort of ostracizing this guy in the village that had AIDS, and then they go in and say, you know, kind of teaching people about HIV and that it's okay to live with HIV and, you
What was the end game of that villain spreading that rumor?
I don't know.
It seems odd.
What's the end game for any of the villains?
I mean, fourth episode, but it's very strange. That's
you can't really get into the villain's motivations. Yeah, they're mostly just really like polluting.
It is bizarre how like the issues can get quite nuanced, but the villains are just really flat, like really 2D. Yeah.
To get a message across to kids within 20 minutes, you really can't worry about what the villains are doing.
No,
you just have to get it in there as fast as possible.
Mm. Exactly.
I mean, you got villains like Venomous Scum and Hoggish Greedly. Loot and Plunder. Yeah,
just loves ivory.
Loot and Plunder?
Yeah, he was a big poacher.
Yeah. Okay. Mm. He's a big game. You know, but Luton Plunder had a lot of jobs, like seal clubber.
he was an everyman.
Unlike most people, he's dealt a little bit of ivory.
We've all been there. In that ivory phase.
So I think the big question is, which ring do you want?
Ooh.
Hmm.
Well, not fire, I'll tell you that much.
That's off the list.
Useless.
Well, it depends what you want the ring
if
for.
If you're a bad guy.
Exactly.
Fire's great.
Do I have to be a planeteer or can I use the power of the ring to do whatever I want?
You can do whatever you want.
Well, if you wanted to do evil bidding.
Do you want
heart's probably always going to be the best.
Being manipulative.
I think he's just like, Matai's just like crap at using it. But I think that's got the most potential.
You think? Mm.
Or Earth. You can kind of just get the Earth to crumple in on itself or something.
Yeah. No, destroyer of worlds.
Yeah, okay. Well, if you want,
that's your job.
Compress it into one giant diamond.
You could, with Earth though, you could create like a pretty successful business, just like you know.
Oh yeah.
Just you know, just excavation and little things like that.
You'd be great at mining.
And the thing is, you could do is basically if you just go around home to home, just laying out like you know the new foundations and stuff like that. You just go, you could do it. You could just undercut everyone massively because you got no overhead.
Be a great landscaper.
Oh, be a fantastic landscaper. So yeah, I would go Earth and I would create a pretty good landscaping
start
business.
Start your own small business.
I would just destroy all the business near me. Just
Dean Anderson and Sons Landscaping.
Yeah, exactly.
You could be the world's most successful psychiatrist as well if you went heart.
Oh yeah.
Just
solve everyone's problems.
Solve everyone's problems instantly.
I think I'd go wind because you can make some sweet coin out of some wind farms.
Okay. Yeah,
that's those bad boys pumping.
They're gold mines.
All the time.
Yeah. And then
wind
I'd just
farms.
Rig up a little like hang glider sort of thing and just always have some wind underneath me.
Fly
so
around.
Just, like,
you just get around.
Yeah.
I guess I'll take water then.
Do you want water? Or?
Well, I can't swim, so if I can control the water,
just keep it away from you.
Keep it real far away. You know, like Moses everywhere I go.
You never have to go to the tap to fill up a glass of water ever again.
No, I just open my mouth and it snakes through the air.
Same with showering.
Could I take
you
the
just
water
shower where you're standing and then just dry up all the water?
Could I like take the water out of you?
I suppose you could. Yeah. Like, it's kind of like a Magneto sort of thing where you like sucks out all the metal.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I'll take that one.
Okay.
Why? You're just murdering people by taking the moisture out of their body.
I got some names on my list that I need to take care of.
Okay, good.
I can think of no better way.
So you're taking water so you can murder people. Uh-huh. Aaron's going to make some sweet coin off with wind farms. I'm going to have a really nice, successful landscaping business. And Jez is
going to destroy the world.
He's going to try and solve.
Well, you can still destroy the world with heart. You can make everyone go insane.
That's true.
Just like that.
Yeah, that's.
I don't think that's how that power works.
Oh, it is.
I really don't think that's how it works.
I think it is.
It's like
telepathy.
Yeah, telepathy, telepathic powers.
Until Wikipedia tells me different, I will not believe that.
That's what. That's his power. He can talk to any human or animal through telepathy instantly.
So, in the episode where there's Captain Pollution, am I misremembering, or do all the villains get rings as well? But they're like bad rings.
Yeah, they do.
So, what are their individual things? Like,
oh, that's a good one.
Oil and fear. I don't know.
Ivory.
Pestilence.
Yeah. Ivory. You just summon ivory just from an anywhere ivory in the world.
All right, so their the rings. We've got Duke Nukem has super radiation.
Mm-hmm.
Pluton Plunder has deforestation ring.
Ooh.
Sly Sludge has the smog ring, which is like the wind ring.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Venomous Scum has Toxic's ring. And Blight, instead of heart, she has hate.
Oh, what about that's more your speed.
So wait, Hoggish didn't get the call up for this.
No, he didn't. He didn't make the cut.
Oh, they put it on the bench.
Who is it? They got a couple of other so much hard work pinch hitters in there.
You're not about Venomous Scum.
No, the toxic one. What's his name? Sludge Man.
Oh, Sly Sludge.
Yeah.
See, I was thinking you'd be building your franchise around Hoggish, and they've left him off the roster. That's surprising.
Mm. Maybe he's sort of like a petty villain.
Maybe. I mean, he's voiced by Martin Sheen, so.
Hoggish was.
No, Sludge. Hoggish Greedley was voiced by Edward Asner.
Okay, yeah.
His name's familiar.
Yeah, that is familiar. I think he's an actor of some kind.
Really?
Do you think?
I believe so.
That doesn't make sense to me.
Hmm.
Oh, Edward Asner was the, he did the voice of the old man in Up.
Oh. So he is an actor.
You were spot on.
No way.
I knew it. You got this uncanny ability.
Just, I see things.
Your sixth sense. That'll just about do it, I reckon, for discussion on the episode. So I think let's jump over and try and give this bad boy a reboot.
Well, I'll take point on this one.
Mm-hmm.
Off
we go.
So I really enjoyed the said concept of this, but the way I'm going to reboot this is I'm going to
puppy farms.
Morgan's a big fan.
Okay,
yeah,
he's starting a family business.
Exactly, Richard Dean Anderson and Sons Puppy Farms. No, of course not. I do not like puppy farms.
Don't listen, Jimmy.
Yeah, don't listen, Jimmy. Just no puppy farms. My reboot is so I think there's another part of the, like, you know, we're looking at pollution and the planet. Yeah, very important issues, I agree. But there's something more important out there that I think that we're not addressing, and that is theatre. My reboot of Captain Planet will be actually Captain Hamlet, and John Rhys-Davies will play Captain Hamlet, and he basically goes around to like community theatre companies and different high school productions, and just kind of takes over and just like, you know, has to sort of save these productions from going under.
Who is John Rhys-Davies?
John Rhys-Davies played Gimli in...
Was he a bit of a thespian?
Yeah, he's a bit of a thespian.
Seems like it.
And apparently it's just like super loud mouth, just...
Oh, really?
Yeah. And just like, there was something he said. He was in Sliders. He was like the professor out of Sliders as well. I've just heard some things about him. He's a bit of a nut. So anyway, I think he'd be perfectly cast. So yeah, Captain Hamlet just goes around. He just goes to like community theater and stuff like that, and just takes over the direct. Like, it's kind of a bit like there's a little bit of elements of like Ramsay's Kitchen Nightmares type thing. Mm-hmm. And I got the first line of the song as well.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Captain Hamlet, he's a hero. Gonna take poor theatre down to zero. That's all I got so far.
That's good. That's a start.
It's a good start. I'm building something.
You gotta start somewhere.
Yeah, so Captain Hamlet, just week to week, and it'll be like the PSAs at the end about, you know, poor theatre and you know, not like, but they're a little more.
Make sure you project.
Tackle on the big issues.
Exactly. Tackling the big issues.
Your voice is your biggest asset as a theatre actor.
No. It's like the best thing you can do is like
hold your nose like this. You can change your accent.
Hello, Gov. So that's so maybe and actually I might get him and maybe Zach Galifianakis.
Okay,
Cherry Green. So yeah, that's Captain Hamlet. It's my reboot of Captain Planet.
I'd buy a ticket.
Mm. Is it a stage show?
It could be.
I assumed it was.
No, it's a series.
Oh, okay.
It's live
series
action.
Series of stage shows.
Live action though. It's live action.
I want to go to the show.
Captain Hamlet doesn't do live.
With it being bought by Hanna-Barbera, I would have liked to have seen an episode of Harvey Birdman with Captain Planet.
Yes.
That would have been great.
I've never seen any Harvey Birdman.
Really?
You need to get onto it.
Is it good?
Do you know what it is?
Yeah, Attorney at Law.
Yes.
Yeah. At Bird Law.
You should be all about it.
Is he a bird?
He's a bird man.
He's a bird man. Harvey Birdman.
He was an old superhero from the 60s and he became a lawyer.
Actually?
Yes. And now he represents a whole bunch of other old Hanna-Barbera characters like the Jetsons and the Flintstones and Yogi Bear in their various lawsuits.
That's actually the plot?
Yeah, it's the plot.
That sounds hilarious.
So they,
have you not seen it either?
I've seen these producers.
So these producers from
it's very
Cartoon,
meta.
Cartoon Network.
Yeah.
All of those characters, they like had the IP to use them, but they're all these like old shows, so they didn't necessarily have storylines for them. So they just brought them together into this other show.
Gary Cole did the voice of
Harvey Birdman.
Yes. Yeah. Stephen Colbert did the voice of his boss.
Really?
It's absolutely incredible. It's such a fantastic show.
I remember seeing an episode. I've seen one part of an episode where Harvey Birdman started like duplicating and his boss started like shooting the shock. What the hell was going on there?
Because one of the supervillains was the duplicator.
Yeah.
And he's had like a ray gun that double people.
So Stephen Colbert started killing all the duplicated Harvey Birdman.
Yeah, he just had a shotgun.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Insane.
What were some of the cases?
There's one where like there's that like Indian guy who his superpower is to go like super large.
Oh yeah, and it's like a giant Native American guy.
Somebody spills he goes to a diner and somebody spills hot coffee on his lap and he can't get big anymore.
So there's a lawsuit. Sue Starbucks.
Apache Chief.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Apache Chief.
Chief. Inechi.
There was like some coming from Yogi Bear's cave. There was there was like some intercepting some like spy messages, and it was Boo Boo organizing some terrorist attacks.
Really?
He was the Uni Boo Boo.
Actually,
yeah.
Actually,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Shit.
There was. I can't remember what the thing is with the. Do you remember the Jetsons episode?
Yeah, where like the Jetsons come back in time to sue the past because they fucked up the world.
Yeah,
which, works for Captain Planet as well.
Was that? Mm. Is it more sort of adult thing?
It's on Adult Swim.
It's Adult Swim. Okay.
Yeah.
It's like one of the first sort of in like the first like five of those sort of shows to sort of come out.
First of the five.
Well, you know, there's like. It was like Space Ghost, Coast to Coast, like that sort of thing.
I've never seen that.
Space Ghost was an old superhero as well, and he had an interview show where he would interview live action people.
Yeah.
I remember seeing an interview with James Hetfield.
Okay.
Anyway.
It's so bizarre. Anyway, yeah.
All right.
We're just describing Adult Swim shows at this point.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I might jump in. I don't have a fully formed reboot.
Another half-baked one.
Another half. I'm all half.
Half-baked Burgess.
Half-baked Burgess. That's what they call me.
That's not a good nickname.
I was going to say, I think we've literally never called you that, but now I will.
Can we not? Let's not.
We'll stop half-baking things.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Full bake them and then we won't be in this predicament.
Full
baked Burgess. So I was thinking, like I was saying before, the supervillains, I think, are a bit two-dimensional. And I would like to see a little bit more of like a realistic representation of the kind of figures that have bad effects on the world. It's like, what would Captain Planet's nemesis be like today? Because I don't think it would be a pig man in some giant mech warrior thing.
Drilling down. Probably not.
Agree to disagree.
Murdering people. I think it'd more likely be like a sort of InfoWars figurehead.
Yeah.
So we get like an Alex Jones type character. Sort of like.
I mean, Alex Jones is pretty close to Hoggish Gridley.
We could pretty much just put him in.
Yeah.
And essentially it's like all about him like disseminating misinformation about whatever environmental issue. So that's the show that we're watching. It's just some like YouTube series where it's just every week and just spouting stuff. And Captain Planet's got maybe comes on an episode. And like, you know, does like a debate or like a screaming match.
that's more accurate. Are there still Planeteers?
I'm not sure. I don't know. What do you reckon?
Would they be like the basis of like, they'd be the evidence-based research elements?
Yeah.
To summon the Captain Planet for proper information?
Yeah. That all need very
peer
specific.
Review. Yeah. some other ones.
Double blind
Mattie or something.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's it. I don't have a name. I really wanted to come up with a reboot that was called Planet Captain, but I could not think of what it would be about. I don't know.
Maybe be like an ad for Captain Morgan.
Yeah.
Or like a Captain Planet theme park.
Yeah. Planet Captain.
That could be.
Or all the captains are there.
All the captains.
Captain Kirk. Captain
Crunch.
Crunch. Captain Hook?
Captain
Captain
Captain Picard?
Picard as well.
Jean-Luc Picard.
Captain Planet will be there.
Yeah, Cappy.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe. We'll see.
Captain Dean Anderson.
Captain Dean Anderson.
The biggest captain of all. Captain of industry.
He is a captain of industry. Anyway, probably does us for the boots. Let's cobble our way to IMDb list of the week.
Here cobble we our way there.
Cobble our way there.
Okay, I didn't even realize that was like a means of
make some shoes, transport. Okay. Have some duct tape and
exactly. plastic very shooting. Uncomfortable, but we got there in the end.
Exactly.
This week, Alex Holmes 77151.
Alex Jones. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Created a list called People Who Should Guest Star on My Little Pony.
Oh, great list.
His yeah. Little Pony.
One of the this sounds like one of the all-time classics.
So, there's 26 names, and they've got a little description for most of them as to what they could do. The one from Captain Planet is LeVar Burton.
Ah, yep. Love LeVar.
Who voiced Kwame. So he was a...
Who else is...
He's done a fair bit, hasn't he?
He was
I know the name.
Star Trek.
Yeah. Yeah. He's Geordi.
Yeah. Oh, no way.
So, along with LeVar Burton, they've got Christoph Waltz, who apparently, according to this user, would make an awesome villain on My Little Pony.
Right, well, I guess.
That's kind of terrifying.
Probably, yeah.
Like Inglourious Basterds.
He's got the range.
Elton John.
Okay.
Okay.
Mick Jagger.
Yep.
Okay. Whoopi Goldberg, another Captain Planet.
Yep.
Harrison Ford.
These are some big names. People do like My Little Pony, though, don't they?
Are they going to... Has Harrison Ford got much interest in dabbling in My Little Pony this late in his career?
Oh, probably. Well. I mean...
Where was the list made?
He's not happy with...
2 months ago.
Being Han Solo.
All right.
This is interesting.
Billy Joel.
Why are there so many musicians? Is there a musical element to the show?
Apparently, they sing a fair few songs on My Little Pony.
Oh.
And then they basically just list off a lot of Star Trek characters.
So
we got Patrick Stewart.
Delancey?
We don't have Delancey. Frakes. We do have Jonathan Frakes.
Excellent.
And we do have Brent Spiner.
Oh.
There we go.
The Spine and the Frake. Then we got a movie.
You could do a Star Trek storyline with that many.
And then we got some British actors. John Cleese, Michael Palin, Terry Gilliam.
Mm.
So this person clearly is a fan.
Gilliam? That's such a weird choice.
So this person knows about three shows and they want them all crowbarred into My Little Pony.
Evidently.
Look, dare I say that none of this list will ever sort of materialise.
You don't know.
Stranger Things have happened.
I imagine that there's a fair few.
So this is Stranger Things season 3.
Yeah. Like
My Little Pony.
Morgan being my father.
Yeah.
My Little Pony starring Christoph Waltz and Elton John.
Yeah.
Interesting. I'd like to see the promo.
It just seems like they're clearly a Star Trek fan and they've just built a list. Like that is just an absurd list.
It's a very strange mix. Why My Little Pony?
I love how you find these.
Mm.
I love these. It's just bizarre.
They are very strange.
Mm. Anyway, do you think you guys will try and watch a little bit more Captain Planet?
No. I reckon I saw enough as a child. Mm. I get the gist. Mm. They're going to try and tell me to stop, littering.
Have you stopped littering?
I would like to think so. Yeah. I mean, there's still ways that I could reduce my waste.
Don't lie. I know you
my carbon footprint.
You go outside, you empty your bin on the street, you get off on it.
I do.
Empty your bin
literally
on the street.
Literally. Yeah. Gets off on it.
Yeah. I'm like the poop jogger with rubbish.
I might do a little bit of reading, see what other issues they touched on.
Do you reckon they touched on the poop jogger?
I reckon they did. I reckon that was a whole season. Christoph Waltz voiced him.
The poop jogger.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Dear. Yeah, I would like to see what other issues they touched on. And also just some of the best cameos.
Because
it is so... It's a lot easier to get a big name to cameo in an animated show. Because you just get him in for a day.
Yeah.
Or you get him in for half
even,
a day.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. And I'm sure there are some that just they turn up and they do like two reads of a line and that's it, and then they get out of there. That's why BoJack Horseman has so many great cameos.
BoJack Horseman has the best cameos.
Yeah, it's incredible. But even if you look at I'm trying to think of another animated show. I mean, obviously like Archer has quite a few, but like
The Simpsons,
even the
Family Guy.
But even like not the massively popular ones seem to have they'll just have names in them.
Yeah,
yeah. So that'll be I think that'll be interesting. Morgan?
It was nice to go back and revisit it. And interesting to learn. Like, to be honest, I was very... The thing that intrigued me the most was...
Learn that littering is wrong?
Yeah. Well, I didn't know that.
No.
No, no, it was interesting to learn about that they actually, the episodes got a lot deeper than just, you know, we're cleaning up an oil slick. It's, no, they did puppy farming.
Yeah,
they
really pointed
it. Yeah, and the one about AIDS is particularly surprising that they went, they sort of tackled that. So yeah, like I think it's, I think in, like we said, the show was really well ahead of its time. But
yeah, force my children to watch it.
Yeah, worst things for your kids to watch.
No, sure. I agree.
Like My Little Pony with Elton John.
They actively encourage you to pollute.
Yeah, I think
so. Those ones do.
Yeah,
Elton John's big polluter.
Yeah, filthy, loves polluting. Filthy characters.
Yeah. Exactly.
Running puppy farm.
If you play Candle and Wind backwards, it's actually like telling you to pollute.
Okay.
Yeah. Can I just say that we have gone, I think, maybe two or maybe even three episodes without the shoehorn alarm going off?
Wow. It's really done its job.
I think it was very close when Wheeler's accent is very old John Travolta.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. We got, but you really brought that up. I feel like you were spearheading that. Not Morgan. So
that's
true. I can't hit the alarm.
I am very self-conscious that every time I've tried to do an accent, it always sounds like Morty from Rick and Morty. Jeez. Yeah. I always lead in with RGs and I don't know why.
So So Morgan and I have triggers.
Mm.
What are your triggers?
I don't know. We don't have any.
You don't have to, so you've got nothing to ever shoehorned in.
I think if I mentioned Dylan O'Brien, gets one.
Yeah.
Dylan O'Brien. So it's Dylan O'Brien, Pivot, John Travolta.
You gotta catch me up on something.
I'll catch you out.
You always talk about these lists every week.
Yeah, exactly.
Every time I start.
Always jamming in your lists.
Every time you have a heartwarming reboot.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like Fences. I'm going to forget that one.
That's a good one.
Yeah. So
many moons ago.
Yeah, many moons. That's an old episode. So
go back and listen to episode three.
Exactly.
Is
that episode three?
Yeah.
It's way back.
Home Improvement. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Long time ago.
Mm.
Well,
look how far we've come.
Times. Here we are.
Yeah, here we are. Episode 37.
Now we've got a bun that makes this noise.
Episode 38.
38.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Of course.
I mean, obviously, don't count Pack to the Rafters when I wasn't here.
No.
Oh, of course not. No,
it doesn't count.
Anyway, we should probably wrap things up. It's been a lovely session talking to you all. Aaron, where can people find us online?
On the onlines, we are at the www.theincompleteseries.com. You can find our episodes, throw us a suggestion, a reboot, anything you like there.
Anything.
We'll take anything.
Please submit a reboot. We do love getting some. Reboot. We do love getting some ideas. So we've had some absolute crackers. Like if we go deep into the back catalogue, Baywatch Nights was a suggestion, and that delivered in spades. So I think you should definitely do that.
It's still making a contribution.
It is. And Jez, where can people find us on the social medias?
Well, further to what Aaron said online, you can also go to www.google.com.au/search?q=the+incomplete+series and OQ=the+incomplete+series. And then I'll show you Google results for the incomplete series.
Yeah. We don't come up.
Yeah, are we top on that list? Or?
Yeah, we are.
Hey.
And that was how you do our Facebook page, The Incomplete Series.
Excellent.
.com.
Thank you. You know, helpful as always.
/
Before Zuck. Our website was up for, you know, like a couple of months, when you would search for The Incomplete Series, it would just come up with like weird half collections of old TV shows that nobody likes.
That's kind of what we want.
Yeah. Well, the top hit now is our Facebook page. So we're moving up the ranks.
No, Facebook page. Not the website?
No, the Facebook page. All that money we've funneled into Google is paying off. The millions and millions of dollars that we spend on ad revenue every week.
And as always, if you can go on iTunes or Podchaser or any of your podcasting platforms and rate and review, they do go a long way.
Hundreds of apps out there.
Just go write it on your e-journal. Blogspot or something.
It on a public bathroom stall.
Yeah, carve it into your face with a knife.
Give us five stars,
That'd be a good one.
Let's get a tat.
Carve it into your friend's forehead. Carve it into your friend's forehead while they're asleep.
Charles Manson style.
Yeah,
cool. Worked out well for him.
Worked out great for Charles Manson. He only just died, so secret key to longevity.
The fountain of youth.
Elixir of life.
Oh, dear. Alrighty, we'll just leave things there then, I think, on that note. Thank you, Jez.
Yeah.
Thank you, Aaron.
Thank you.
And thank you, Scott.
Thanks.